Okay, well, if you really knew me, you'd like me. That's what I tell myself. You know, speaking of what we're praying about for Hong Kong and China and all these different nations, it's not just one nation or one problem. Mm-hmm. It's across, it's everywhere. Yeah. And you look at what happened in Texas, mm-hmm. you look at what's happening in South America, in Africa, you know, wherever people are, there's gonna be problems. And the devil, he's an equal opportunity hater.
Yes.
Means he hates you, he hates people.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what color their skin is, you know, what they look like, if they're tall or short. Then he don't care. He hates people because they're made in the image of God. So if we would realize that as people, just recognize that God loves people, the devil hates people, that would solve a lot right there. If we could just, you know, understand, hey, God cares about people, the devil hates everyone.
Yeah.
So we don't want to be a hater based upon, you know, regions or culture or color or anything like that, right?
Amen.
So I say that because we, sometimes here in the States, we feel like, or like here, we want to see or experience something that could be challenging or difficult. But you and I have to really believe God to fight or to contend for our faith. And it's not just marching somewhere. And see, us, in a sense, that's what's going on in Hong Kong right now. Because there were some laws that they wanted to pass to where, this is China, that they wanted to be able to come in, and if somebody was accused of a crime, not to say they did it, but just be accused. Like, you said something against the government. We're going to arrest you, and we're going to take you back across the border. And we're going to interrogate you, and you're going to have to pay a fine. Maybe it's all the money you have in your bank account. Maybe it's your house. And so the young people, the younger people in Hong Kong, because there's so many other nationalities coming in, they have no future. Like, no future. And then when you look at everything that you have worked for could be taken away, then that's why they're fighting. And I'm not saying it's the violence, I'm not saying that's right or anything like that, but in their mind, that's what they're fighting for. And then, the church, on the church side, you have in China, they've persecuted a lot of Christians, arrested them, broke up churches, so they're limited to meet in homes, like the church. And then the government-sponsored church has rewritten the Bible, said this is the only official copy you can use. Now, this is current. This is like now. And Jesus is no more than a superhero. He's just like a good guy who isn't the Son of God and who never came to die for humanity. That's what they rewrote the Bible. That's the church, that's the official Bible now that they have to use in China. So you can see your faith would be what? Under attack. And so when we look at all these things going on, we sometimes think, well, that couldn't happen here, but could it? Or is it? And so when we talk about believing God, reading our chapter, getting the word into your heart so you don't forget it, right? So the enemy can't steal it from you. These are things you and I are supposed to what? Be fighting for. Amen?
Amen.
So pray. Make sure you pray. Make sure you and I, we keep seeking the Lord. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't back away. Amen? Amen. Keep fighting. So today we're going to talk about the basics again, part three. And back to the basics, part three. And last week we talked, you remember what we talked about? God is what? We have to believe that He is.
Yes.
And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, how many of you throughout the week, this week, were thinking, hey, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? So I should be what? Seeking Him. Because if you don't think about it for 48 hours, they say you lose it. Anybody ever do that? And a big thing is to really focus. To focus on the Word. When you're focusing on something, that means everything else is put away. Right? Yes. My wife was asking me a question, and I was doing something else. She goes, are you listening? I go, yes, but I'm just not focusing. I'm not paying attention. I'm listening, but I'm not really grabbing or understanding what you're what saying. And sometimes we do that with God's Word. You know, we have our chapter reading Monday through Friday. Why? Is it just because there's nothing else to do and we thought, well, we're just... No, it's because as we read the Bible and we focus on it, we receive revelation, we receive insight. And the more attention we put to it, to the Word, the more we receive. So the more we receive, then the more we what? Read. The more we read, the more we receive. So we have to know that God not only is, but that He wants to reward those for diligently what? Seeking Him. Amen. All right, so today we're going to discuss a basic area of contending for their faith and that we are pleasing the Lord specifically. Now, let me say this. Have you ever wondered, you ever asked yourself the question, why didn't somebody tell me that? You ever ask yourself that question? Yeah. Or is it just me? Like, you ever go through life and you go, well, they knew that. How come they didn't tell me? Why would it? Is it a big secret? Why didn't they tell me? So today, I might tell you something that I found out, and I'm not just going to try to keep it to myself, but it's so that you can also what? Benefit. Amen? Do what you want with it, one of those types of things. So, but today we're going to look at the word. What does it mean to fight the good fight of faith as outlined in the scripture? So 1 Timothy 6:12 says it this way. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called, and you have professed a good profession, or saying the right thing, or your confession, before many witnesses. So there is a fight that we are to fight in life. And if we think that we just go through life without fighting something, specifically the enemy, the devil, then if you don't want to fight, he's going to mess you up. He's going to consume you. He's going to destroy you. Because he is out to come to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And if you don't fight or resist him, that's what he's going to do. And there's a lot of times I know in life people go, but I'm a lover, not a fighter. But if you love God, he tells you, you got to fight. You got to resist the enemy. There's things that you and I that we need to do in life. We can't just roll over and just pretend like it's not happening. We got to resist him. Amen?
Yes.
But it's a good fight. Why? Because it's a fight that you are supposed to win. You know, a good fight's one that you won. Not the one you lost. Say, well, I fought hard. It was a good fight, but I lost. Well, you ever notice, like, you watch sports. You root for a team, whoever your team may be. And they're playing in the big game. And they come out and they say, well, we didn't really come to fight to win. And you're like, well, I don't want to hear that. I'm a fan. I'm rooting for you. They wanted it more than we did. Did you ever hear that one?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you increase your want to? And you think about it, when God gives you his word, he gives you promises, he tells you, now go fight. Go conquer. Go get it done. Go overcome. But if you say, no, Lord, I don't want to. I just don't feel like it. Well, there's going to be a problem. Amen?
Yes.
And he's telling us it's a good fight. And he says, lay hold. What does lay hold mean?
Yeah.
to grab, to take something. Now here he says, lay hold on what? Eternal life. That means when you're in life, you situations, you're looking at, I'm supposed to fight this good fight of faith. Jesus promised me salvation if I believe in him and on his name and in his word. So I'm going to lay hold on that, and I'm not letting go. I'm not going to give it up, no matter who's pulling. You ever see two kids, they always want the same toy. You ever notice that? You have like 10 toys in a room, two kids, two big babies, children. They start fighting. One has one toy, and the other one wants it. They're like, you got all these other toys. I go through that with my daughters and their Barbie dolls. I'm like, I should just buy you one each. But you get three, and then everybody wants the extra one. And then I tell them, I'm going to take it away, and they start crying, no! But here the Bible says you're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. Now, another translation says it this way. In the New International Revised Version, it says, fight the good fight along with all other believers. Take hold of eternal life. This is the part I like. It says, you were chosen for it when you openly told others what you believe. Many witnesses heard you. So when you're going through this life, fighting the good fight of faith, this has to do with your salvation. He says, there's others who heard you. You never let this go. You keep it before you all the time. You hold on to it no matter what's happening in the world. You know, I know some pastors who are in China, personally, some friends of mine. They know me as Jack Bauer. It sounds like the guy from 24, which is true. But because they said you have to have, when you go there, just in case you're caught, not just me, but them, and they're tortured, they really believe your name is Jack. So you can't use your real name. Like, this is like real life. So one day he saw my wife, and he's like, he tells her, hey, I really like Jack. And she's like, okay. And he goes, Jack's a really nice guy. And she's like, okay, she doesn't know I'm Jack. It's me, because I never told her. And so finally she goes, who's Jack? I go, that's me, honey, just, that's me. And she goes, Jack Bauer? Really? You couldn't come up with a different name? That's a good name. But for them, that salvation in Christ is everything. Because at any moment, everything you have can be taken away from you. So for them, there, they realize that. That Jesus is my everything. This is my fight. Is to hold on to eternal life. Amen? Amen? And yet here the Bible says that we are supposed to fight this good fight. The same fight that they're fighting. This is the same fight what? That we fight. So here's a couple things that Paul reminds us. First, he says there's a fight that we are to fight. Understand. Again, that the earth is a dangerous place to live. Vince, you can go to the next. And that you and I have enemies who seek to hurt and harm, to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, our fight is not against people, but it's against unseen forces.
That's right.
Yet, at the same time, you have angels who support you. But you got to realize you have enemies who are what? Against you. That doesn't mean we walk around looking for the unseen forces or that we walk around scared. But we just are aware and we have to be alert, right? That we do have an enemy. Secondly, he said that we are to lay hold of eternal life. That is to say, laying hold is an active present tense action required by us in order to obtain a desired thing in our life. So laying is what? Present tense. If I'm breathing, that's something I'm doing what? Right now. If I'm running, that's something I'm doing right now. If I'm talking, I'm right now. When the Bible says laying hold, means right now. not yesterday, and not tomorrow. You just always be in the right now mode. Yes. Amen? Right now. Laying hold. That's what faith is, believing when? Right now. Mm-hmm. It's always right now. Even the Bible says that faith is now. Right now. It would be weird if you say, I'm going to believe in Jesus tomorrow. Sure. Well, that's not faith, because it's not what? Right now. Or if I believed in him yesterday, that's not what? Right now. And the third thing he says, that we are called to both fight, obtain, grab, get, secure something that's desired in the here and now. So I say that because as a believer, you got to understand, you must understand that there is this fight. And that your responsibility is to fight the good fight and to lay hold of things that you're believing God for in your life. Amen? Salvation, when we talk about salvation, the word is sozo, right? And it means spirit, soul, and body. It means for the whole body. Not just your spirit, but for your mind, your will, your emotions. If you believe in God, you need healing. You believe in God for money. You believe in God for favor. These are the things you're supposed to what? Lay hold of. You got to grab onto those things. Fight the good fight. And then faith would indicate that you don't have it yet. Meaning, faith is the substance of the thing you're hoping for. Yes. But it's the thing you don't see yet. Now, would it be weird if I said, I'm believing God for a wife when I'm already married? You'd say, well, you don't have to believe God because you're already married. My wife wouldn't be believing that either, right? So if I can't believe for something that I already have, that wouldn't be faith. Because I see it, I have it, I hold it. So once I see it, I have it, and I hold it, then I can use my faith for something else that I can't see or hold until that comes to pass in my life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So when we're fighting the good fight of faith, whatever you're believing God for in your life, that's what you put your faith on. Amen? And then when you see it, you no longer have to believe for it, because why? You now have it. Yes. It came to pass.
Yes.
So then you ask God, what's the next thing you want me to believe for? Right? But this fight is a fight because there's enemies to your faith. And you and I, we have to realize we can't grow weary, we can't grow tired, we can't grow weak. Because that'll give us a tendency to want to what? Quit or give up. Amen?
Amen.
Look at this scripture. This is a good one. Romans 1:17. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, or those who've been made right with God, shall live by faith. Remember we looked at Hebrews 11:6, that said, without faith, you cannot please God. It's impossible. Right? Remember that? For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So when I look at the word faith, from faith to faith, in my mind, I can see it like, hey, I'm supposed to be believing in God, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when you see this from faith to faith, what does that mean? It means as you go through life, this is how you're to live. It says the standard. So you got the scripture, the standard. The just shall live, they walk by faith. Every day, this is how you live. Not lived in the past, but live today. Right? Currently, today. Righteousness revealed from faith to faith. This is when he shows you something that's like right here. Now he wants to show you the next what? The next step. And then the next step. He wants to keep taking you up higher. Right? Because he expects you to overcome. How many times you ever miss something? How many times you ever miss something? How many times you've done something wrong?
Yes.
More than once?
Yes.
More than 100 times?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But you're still here.
Amen.
God hasn't quit on you.
Amen.
He hasn't given up on you. He said, okay, try it again. It's like tying your shoe when you were a kid. Before all this Velcro stuff. Forget this Velcro stuff, right? I remember as a kid, I had to keep tying my shoe and I didn't know how to do it. I'm crying. I'm upset. My mom says, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. I don't want to do it again. She didn't let me quit. She had faith that I would eventually learn how to tie my shoe. Or how to tell time. With the old clocks. Right? You get it again. I got confidence in you. You can learn this. God has confidence in you. You can overcome this. And if we believe that, and we say, okay, what do I need to do? You need to fight. I don't want to fight. You got to. Because you have enemies. And these enemies are trying to rip you off. So you need to fight back against them. Amen?
Amen.
And faith, as we understood, is the foundation that we receive from God. Because without faith, we can't please Him. But this is how we live. So He says, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. You know, I know this sounds really basic. But the more you study it out, the more revelation or more understanding will come. The more understanding comes, the more answers you will receive. The more answers you receive, the more you'll know why that didn't work or why this didn't work in the past. Amen? So once we get it figured out, we're like, oh, that's what happened. See, it's not God trying to keep something back. It's us being in a position to what? Receive from Him.
Yes.
You know, I think I think it's interesting. Okay, next slide. All right. Here we look at religion versus righteousness. You go, what does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about it. A religious thinking person, they will beg God to do something for you. Like, you know, a religious person will go, God, please help me. Please, God, please, please, please. Have you ever done that?
Yep.
God, please just get me out of this. Please, God, please. And it sounds really good, but it's not Bible. Because a righteous person will receive what God has done. If God said, by His stripes you are healed, right? Then begging Him to heal you isn't going to work. Why? Because He can't do something He's already done for you. If He's already healed you, like, you know this. You and I know this. You can't, you got the whole world going, Jesus, save so-and-so. Save him, save him, save him. And He's saying what? I already did.
Yeah.
They have to what? Receive their salvation. They can't say God doesn't love me, he just needs to save me. And you would say, no, He already did. He already saved you. You have to respond to what He's done. Right? You have to receive Him. You can reject Him, but that's not going to help you. You need to what? Receive. Well, what about areas in our life like we say we need money, right? Anybody have enough money here? Just hand it up. And now one time, remember that, Tony? That one time, people in the church, I said, hey, look, I got enough money on me to give everybody 20 bucks. Anybody want to come up and get their 20 bucks? Nobody came up. Nobody came up. Nobody believed me. So I had to take my money out, show them all these doubters in this place. I had to show them, right? I said, well, look, I got enough money. Everybody came up. I ain't doing that this time. I didn't bring that up. But why? Because, oh, now, you see, it's not enough to know that I can do something, but you also got to know I'm willing. I want to do something. It's not enough to know God can do something for you. You need to know that he what? He's willing to do it. That he wants to. That, because can doesn't require faith. Because you don't know. If I said, I want to give one person in here $100. You could raise your hand. That's me. No, it's not. Not you. Because you don't know for sure if you're the one. You don't know. But if I said, I want to give everybody in here $100, now you're like, well, that's me. Because that's everybody. Because and I'm not only can I, but I'm willing to. See, this is where you and I have to know with God. In our lives, we got needs, we got things. We got to get from a place of, oh, God, please, please, please do this for me. When he says, I've already done it for you, you need to fight. You need to go believe. You need to engage here, right? So instead of pleading with God, second point, we can praise God for the promise. Yeah. One time, you know, when you're going to school or you could be a student, it seems like you're kind of maybe challenged with money. And it's not that you always need money, it's just you always want more stuff. It's like, I have enough money for school, but I got a life I got to maintain. Right? But I asked this one guy, this was one time, hey, I need money. I said, what scripture, what promise are you reading every day so that you can build up your faith so you can believe God to receive? He's like, oh, just one of those money promises. No, one of those money promises, that's not going to get you to where you need to be in order to receive from him. Because that's being careless, right? That's being, you know, that's actually what the Bible says. You're being disrespectful because you're considering the word like no big deal. Like it's no big deal. No big deal, right? I said, but you can plead with God, but if you don't know his promise, you got to know his promise. And then when it becomes really important to you, you'll read it every day. Yeah. You'll put it everywhere. You know God's word works, but I also know that people cannot work God's word. Meaning, if the word becomes so important to you, you're not going to allow anything else to get in your way, to be distracted. You know, when my wife, some years ago, actually 10, I think I told this story before, but she, you know, she had a stroke and she was pregnant with our second daughter and the doctors didn't think she was going to live and it was all this negative stuff. So what did we do? We had to go to the Word of God, find a promise concerning her situation. And then what we did is we put it up everywhere, on the wall, in the mirror, over the TV, so we ain't gonna watch no TV. I got no time for TV right now. I need to get this promise. It's enough, the promise is good enough, but do I have the promise in me? So I had to get it in me to where I became fully persuaded that no matter what report I have, I understand that's the report. But I also understand I have a promise from God that's real to me. And so eventually what happened, you know, you get some nightmares. You get some bad dreams. You get some bad reports. You have some bad days. But think about this. If you don't get any worse, you won't die.
That's right.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
If it's bad, okay. But if it doesn't get worse, that gives you time to get better.
Yes.
I mean, this would be like Revelation. You don't have to believe to get healed all at once.
Yeah.
You can just believe to stop getting worse. Because
yeah.
If I can just stop getting worse, that means I'm stabilized. I'm not where I want to be necessarily, but I'll just start from there and I can work my way back to healing.
Yes.
Or work my way back to where I need to be.
Yes.
So what we did, and it wasn't easy, man. I'm telling you, it wasn't easy. And the devil tries to wear you out emotionally or mentally or physically. And there's times you get tired, but you got to fight through all those things. And so eventually, you know, what happened was over a period of time, instead of trying to believe God's word, you start to believe it. And then the devil, he tries to negotiate with you. Well, maybe you won't die, but you will never be normal. Or just take 50%. How about that?
No.
And you got to be determined, say, no, everything will be restored.
Yes.
Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking.
Yes.
God will restore it all. But you got to be like on it with this. You can't listen to your friends who are calling you. You can't be on faith. Are you still doing okay? You want me to help you plan the funeral? You want me to do that? No, I don't want any of you doing that for me. That's from you. And I'm not going to post it online for everybody to read either. Because they're not going to be in faith with you on this. So that's what we did. So day by day goes by. And you're feeding your spirit. And eventually the doctors... The report starts to change where they say, well, it looks like you might make it, you might come out okay, you know. And you're still not moved by what they say. I mean, that's what they know, but God knows more. Yes. That's why I'm, okay, yes. Thank you for your report. And I go back home and we read the Bible again. No TV, right? None. Zero. I don't need it. I have to get this in me. I got no time for that other stuff. So we get it, and you stay with it, and you stay with it. And then eventually what happens, you become so persuaded that God will keep you, that you'll make it, that you're going to live. And then he starts to turn things around. Because why? You were believing him. And I remember, you know, it's funny. We know why we don't trust in money, because money can't do that. Money is great. It's a tool. But sometimes you need more than what money can do.
Amen.
So it was interesting, because when we were going through this one situation, they said, your wife's medicine is like $75. I said, I can do that. That's not bad, $75 a month. They said, no, it's $75 a shot. I go, a shot? And she needs 2 shots a day for 9 months. And I start adding this up. But I'm like, that's $150, $36,000? I don't have that much to put towards shots. Honey, you better be believing God. So what they said, well, for the first so-and-so much time, the company said they will give you this new drug. I was like, okay, for free, right? And then eventually what happened, it worked out great. We had to pay a very, very small amount of money for this drug that she needed. It was basically like a blood thinner, right? And I had kept, now this sounds strange, but I'm just talking about me. I don't know about you, but about me. I had kept all the shots, all the syringes, because I just wanted to see. I had a whole bunch of them, and every time we went through them, day after day, I'd keep them all in a stack, right? And I did it for a spiritual reason in my mind. Because I'm looking at it like, God, you're faithful. I only have, this is like 1 month worth. I got 8 more piles of these to go, right? Then 2 months, then 3 and 4. So finally at the end, when it was all done, I had a stack of needles. And I would always thank God for his faithfulness. But then I came one day, I don't need these anymore. What am I going to do with them? I got to get rid of them. Nobody wanted to take them. It was like, you know, hundreds of syringes. Like, what are you doing, buddy? I go, no, this is about God's faithfulness here. This is God's faithful. But in the midst of all that, as we're praising God for his promise, we also have to recognize that we have to resist the devil. Like point three, you can't ask God to do what he told you to do in life. So you can't ask God, God, can you tell the devil to stop? Because he told you to tell the devil to stop. Right?
Yes.
You know, sometimes, again, with my daughters, they have thoughts that, you know, they go to sleep. I can't sleep. I have a bad thought. Okay, let's talk about this. You have to talk to those thoughts. Well, I don't want to. Yes, you do. You got to learn. You got to talk to those thoughts. You got to start pleading the blood of Jesus over your mind. You got to tell those thoughts to go away in Jesus' name. You got to say, thank you, Lord, for good thoughts, for peaceful thoughts. You got to have the thought that I'm going to make it no matter what happens because the Lord will keep me. Every time the devil comes and says, you're not going to make it, you need to say, I will make it. The Lord will keep me. He will provide for me. I will overcome. So this is how you resist him. One way that you resist him. Amen?
Amen.
Look at the next verse. It says this, submit yourself, James 4:7. It says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As you submit or yield yourself to God, to his word, then you can resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. The problem is what? What do we do sometimes, or people do? They resist God and his word, and they submit to the devil. Or they listen to him, and that means he won't leave you alone. So if he tells you, you need to submit to God, James is telling us, resist the devil. That's part of the fight that you have to do. And he will flee from you. Right? He will flee. You're not supposed to flee. You let him flee. Right? You resist him. So resist, defined. I defined it for us here. Webster's. It says, to exert oneself as to counteract or defeat. Definition two, to withstand the force or effect of something. So as you resist the devil, you got to counteract what he does. This is how you fight the good fight of faith, knowing that, hey, we're not limited to our natural weapons. We have God's word. You know, I know, like, if I can't sleep at night, when I can't sleep, you just start reading your Bible and you'll be out before you know it, right?
Yes. Like, oh.
I'm in James and I never made it out of chapter 1. Why? Because the devil, I don't want him reading his Bible. So, you know, but what do people do? Oh, I'll get up and watch TV and eat some bowl of cereal or make a sandwich. Don't do that. Right? I'm just telling me personally, I don't want to get up and just watch TV. If I start reading my Bible, it'll help me what? Go to sleep. And I read the promises of God. That he will never leave me nor forsake me. You think about this. This is what he's talking about, fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? Next. I'll speed up here for you. Okay. What are we to fight? Here's some things. Now, this may not be all of them, but this is just a list of a few. Okay? Number one, we are to fight doubt. We're to resist it. To call into question the truth of something. So when you believe in God's word and the doubt comes and says, oh, is that really true? You need to resist that. You need to fight and say, yes, I'm believing God. Yes. Number two, depression. It's defined as a mood disorder marked by sadness or inactivity. So I like being sad. Don't go there, right? Fight that. Get up, go outside and do something, right? Believe God. Change your mood. You know, I tell you what, I think in the age we live in, it's easy to be depressed. Yeah. It's not that you get access to so much information, and it's not always good. It's easier to yield to that or to look at things and see what's going on and forget that, hey, you're supposed to be rejoicing. You know, the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Mm-hmm. Notice the word I will. That means I'm going to use everything I have to rejoice.
Yes.
I will rejoice. It's one of that word I will. Like when you get married, you say, do you take so-and-so? And do you take so-and-so? I do, or I will. Same thing. It's so strong. He said, I will rejoice and be glad. I'm going to make myself what? Be glad. So then you start laughing by faith, you smile by faith, you be glad. Here's another thing we are to reject and to fight is dejection or lowness of spirit. You know, like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
If you looked at Eeyore, would he be a strong Christian? No. He's always like this. Yeah, I hope so. He's just, you know, you want to be a Christian like Tigger. I mean, he's a little overexcited, but he's bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. And Eeyore is always so sad, right? Here's another thing we're to resist or to fight is despair. The loss of all hope or confidence. So when you're despairing, you're actually, if faith is the substance of the thing you're hoping for, but you have no hope, then are you in faith? No. I'm supposed to be confident in God's word, but if I have no confidence, am I in faith? No. So you have to fight hopelessness or despair. The idea that it won't get any better, that you just stuck where you are, right? You got to fight that. You got to resist that. Another thing is discontent. It's the idea that if we could get a little bit more, we would be happy in life. I remember when I got married, you know, we think like, we got each other, we got everything. This is all we ever need, right? You think like that, and then something comes up. If we could just get that, we'd be happy again. And then we could get this, we'd be happy again. And it doesn't mean you can't believe God for more things, but you can't be deceived into thinking if I could get that thing, then I would be happy. That's the problem. It's the idea that if I could get a little bit more, then I would be happy. You're discontent. You got to resist that. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. I can be content where I am, but I can still believe God for more. Why would I want more? So I could be a bigger blessing, or so I could do more for the Lord? There's a lot of different reasons, but I can't think that if I could get that, then I'd be happy. That's not true. So you have to resist that. Those are just some things. Now, Hebrews 10, 35 to 39 says it this way. Remember it said, it says this, don't cast away your confidence. Remember? Despair has, you know, when you have no confidence, you're in despair. The Bible says, don't cast away your confidence or your hope. It says you will have great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise for a little while, and that which shall come will come. It won't wait. You just have to live by faith. Again, he said, live by what? Faith. Faith in what? That God is, and that he will reward you for diligently seeking him. You don't quit. You got to fight to believe not only as he is, but that he is going to reward you.
Yes.
When the enemy comes, when people say it's no good, you should quit, you got to push past all that. Say, no, I have confidence in him.
Yes.
Now, what's really interesting, I looked up the word recompense. You can go to the next slide. Here's what it means. To me, I never knew what it really meant. I just know it's a Bible word. It's like, hey, recompense. But it's interesting. It says to give something to by the way of compensation as for a service rendered or damage incurred. So in light of this, he says, don't cast away your confidence or faith in God. It has great repayment. Why? For service rendered, what's the service? You're serving God. You're believing God. You're not quitting on him. Or damage occurred was where the enemy's always trying to come against you and hinder you and harm you. And he took things from you. But you didn't quit. You're knowing God's going to repay me.
Yeah.
He just said, don't cast away your confidence because it has great reward or recompense. I mean, I'm getting paid back.
Hallelujah.
So no matter how long I go, I don't care because he's paying me back. God is good for it.
Yes.
Amen. He's not going to forget what I've done for him.
Sure.
And what the enemy's trying to mean for harm, I'm not quitting.
That's right.
I'm going to keep going.
Amen.
Amen? Because that's what recompense means. In other words, the devil's trying to get you not to believe what Jesus said or what he's promised you through the word of God. And all that persecution and all that affliction and all that pain that you go through in believing God, all the stuff you have to, the doubt and unbelief you have to wake up to and resist every day, God takes note of it. He knows what you're going through. He says, I'm paying him back. God's going to pay you back. He said, don't quit. Don't you dare give up. Amen?
Amen.
So, 2 Timothy says it this way. He said, well, I hope I could do that. Well, look at this. Timothy says, Paul's writing to Timothy, I fought a good fight.
Yeah.
Now, what's that good fight? It's the one that you win, right? I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Fighting this good fight, finishing your course, is keeping the faith. As God is going to reward me, God is going to keep me, I'll finish my course. Why? He helped Paul do it. He'll help you do it.
Amen.
You can finish your course. You can keep the faith. Right? You can fight the good fight. You just don't quit. You just don't quit. You just keep going. So how shall we then live? What about you and I in this life? How are we going to live? We see all these things going on around us. We see people getting shot, people getting killed, people being arrested for, in other countries specifically, for serving Christ. But you and I say, hey, I can finish my course. I'm not giving up my faith in Christ. I'm going to go all the way. Next slide. It says, can we, is it possible to finish our course and keep the faith? Yes. So you and I have to determine in our heart that we're going to go all the way to the finish line with our eyes fixed.
Yes.
What does fixed mean? Like cement? It's like when that thing dries, then, you know, it's fixed. With the author and finisher of our faith,
yes,
which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Say, I'm keeping my eyes on him.
Yes.
I am not moved by what somebody else is doing.
Yes.
What they go, they didn't believe that anymore. That's my problem. That's their problem. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of my faith.
Amen.
He's the one that said he will reward me.
Yes.
He knows everything I'm going through.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? I'm not quitting though. I'm not backing up. I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to go all the way, finish my whole course.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And be joyful about it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No, I'm good. I deserve God. No, not like that. But being joyful. Finish it with joy. Because he is your joy. He is your reward. Amen?
Amen.
So, as a church family, we want to encourage you to fight on. Don't give up. There's some things you might be going through. That doesn't mean you quit. You just fight. You get scripture and you obtain promises to say, Lord, how do I overcome? What do I need to do? Because I ain't quitting. And I'm not going to back away, right? I'm not going to give up my confidence in you. Be determined to hold on to him. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what happens.
Amen.
No matter what you're going through, you're just going through it.
Yes.
You're not staying there.
Yes.
You're not stuck there. You're not stopping there. No, keep your confidence and your trust in him.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's go ahead and get ready for our offering. And, something I thought would help you is, if we keep our eyes on him, if you need an envelope, raise your hand. Yeah. But if you keep your eyes on him, he'll help guide you all the way through. Right? This is what he said he would do. And last week, Margie talked about we give to the Lord because why? We give because of we're a joyful, hilarious giver. Is that what you said? Right? And if God got something to you one time, he can get it to you again. And we don't trust in money, but it really comes back to our heart. Right? And it's like, hey, I don't want you to be or I don't want to be controlled by money. You know, this goes back to where Timothy, he's talking to Timothy, and that whole context where he says, fight the good fight of faith, he's really talking about money, or serving God, or serving mammon, or money. He's like, don't be controlled or ruled by that. You keep your joy, be good, be glad, fight the good fight of faith. Don't just live for stuff, right? And he goes on further. And I want you to just think about it, as you get the opportunity, you get to give to the Lord, you get to sow, you say, Lord, you've been so good to me. I don't, you know, when I was going to Bible school, now I'm going to share this story because I think it's relevant. I remember my wife and I, we didn't have any money. When I say we didn't have money, you know, some people today, when they say they don't have money, they just say they don't have money that they don't want to spend. Or they don't want to have money in their account, this 401 IRA, whatever, they just don't want to touch that. Or they have this other secret account they don't want to touch. You know what I mean? They got all this stuff, money at home that's under the mattress that they don't touch. So they say, I don't got no money. But when I say I didn't have no money, I mean I had no money. All I had was a nickel. And we had an older car. We're going to Bible school. It wasn't a perfect situation. And they had a building fund that they started it was before the Rhema Church building was built. Yeah. We were there that year they started building, the groundbreaking. So they had this big tent meeting, and, you know, they'd have tent meetings on that ground. Well, one day, we went there because we're supposed to. You've got nothing, you come to church. Okay. So we went there, and I remember, it's like, I wasn't real happy, you know, because I'm thinking, I got to pay all this money for school. I got no money. We're really not eating. We would go to, they have like a pizza place, and they have ice cream cones for a quarter. Well, that's how I got down to a nickel. I had 30 cents, but we shared an ice cream cone, which cost a quarter. So now we're down to a nickel, right? And so I remember that day we're sitting there, and they're taking up offering, and I felt, you know, I just was like, the Lord was saying, hey, go give your nickel. I'm mad. I'm thinking what? Just what you're thinking. I've sacrificed everything to be here. I'm keeping my nickel. I ain't giving my nickel. And it's just a nickel. It's not going to matter in the church building fund. They need lots of money, not just a nickel. But I just kept having it in my heart to go give you nickel. And finally, I was like, oh, okay, God, I'll go give my nickel, right? And I put, you know, you got to go up and do it. And of course, you know, because it was raining outside. But what happened is, you know, the rain gets on the ground, starts to saturate. It was a little muddy. And so I go get my nickel. And of course, you hear the clunk. It's, you know, the nickel. But on the way back, this one guy, he's all excited. He's jumping. And he splashes me with mud and things. I'm not happy again, right? I'm like, oh, man, I gave my nickel and I got dirty. And I got back to my seat, and it was like the Lord said, do you want credit for your nickel? I'm like, well, yeah. So if I change your attitude. It's not the amount, it's the attitude of our heart. And I'm holding on to something thinking it's really mine because I want it. It's the heart. So I remember as I gave. Now to this day, he sustained us. And I don't remember exactly how we made it through, but we made it. And we never were late, right? I mean, God sustained us and he kept us. And I always look back, what if I went to give that nickel? I wouldn't have that story. I would have it, but just have a different ending, right? But God's faithful. He's faithful. And as you just keep believing him and not quitting and keep running, he'll take care of you. Amen? He'll keep it. You keep fighting that good fight. No, he's going to recompense me. He's going to take care of me. Amen? So let's pray over our offering. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. And we thank you for today, Lord, that we give with a happy, cheerful, glad heart, knowing that whatever we sow, we're just giving it with joy, Lord. in obedience to you, to what you prompt in our heart to give. It's not so much the amount, Lord, it's the attitude. It's the obedience of just doing what you tell us to do with a good heart, with a glad heart. And we just thank you for being faithful to meet all of our needs, because we're following you, we're diligently serving you, and we give you all the praise and glory in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, go ahead and take up the offering. Announcements.